Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
I love being a foster parent. Me and my partner can provide them with a continuity that only we can provide them with. A separation at this point would be devastating. I don't think that there should be any blanket ban. I really think that it should be on a case-by-case basis.
That's Martin Gale, a foster parent in Florida, who is challenging Florida's ban on gay adoption. He and his partner would like to adopt the children they've been fostering for some time. And someone might ask, well, if a gay or lesbian couples in Florida can be foster parents, provide all those things that parents are supposed to do, a roof over their head, a warm bed, three hot meals a day, a loving family, why can't they adopt? And of course, the challenge to that law probably signals another wave of challenges, state by state, nationwide, wherever it may pertain, against laws that would prohibit adoption for gay and lesbian couples. We'll be talking about that with Wendy Wright, president of Concerned Women for America, here in a few minutes on Issues Etc. We are coming to you live this Thursday afternoon. It's the 27th of August. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943. That's our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-I-E. You can email us right here in the studio. We get those questions in real time. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. And you can now Twitter us at issuesetc. That's our address, at issuesetc. Speaking of those new ways of communicating with us, another way that we like to have you help us communicate with people who may not know about Issues Etc. is by going to our website tonight, issuesetc.org. Tomorrow, we're going to be drawing a name from people who have sent our Issues Etc. YouTube video to 10 of their friends, and you can still do that yourself. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click promote, you'll find the Issues Etc. YouTube video. Now email that video to 10 of your friends to tell them about Issues Etc. It's just a little bit more than a minute long, and it's very easy to watch. It says a lot about Issues Etc. And when you do, email us and let us know you did. Talkback at issuesetc.org. We'll enter your name for that drawing tomorrow for a $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. And thanks for helping promote Issues Etc. The difficult thing about adoption, of course, it's always a difficult prospect. The difficult thing is it's never an ideal situation. And some are arguing, especially in Florida, that yes, while gay couples adopting may not be the ideal according to the state's criteria, it's still a perfectly viable option. And it's an alternative to a man and a woman adopting a child. Wendy Wright, president of Concerned Women for America, based in Washington, D.C., joins us to talk about the legal challenge to Florida's ban on gay adoption. Wendy, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be on.
As long as the child is loved, fed, taken to school, provided for in all these many and various ways, why can't gay or lesbian couples be those who provide that for an adopted child?
Yeah, that does sound wonderful, and it sounds like it would be good for the child, but we need to look at the evidence, and we need to look at the fact of what children need. Children don't just need to be taken to school. They don't just need to be fed. There's a bit more than just being loved as well. They do need role models. They need a mother and a father. Men and women are different from each other. I think we all recognize that. Even homosexuals would agree, and lesbians would agree, that men and women are different because they do prefer one over the other. And it's because there are innate differences. These differences are beneficial to children, and children need the input from a mother. They need an input from a father, and a man can't replace a mother, and a woman can't replace a man.
Then what do you think the merits, or I should say, what do you think the prospects of this legal challenge in Florida really is? Legally, do you think there's a chance here that the ban would be overturned?
Well, legally, I think what we have to look at is the political realm. And sadly, there's too much political pressure being put on this issue that I think for the courts to ignore. And that's detrimental to children. And the evidence is that children not only need a mother and a father, but also children in homes in which there are homosexual adults, that it's not the best place for them. These children are 4 times more likely to end up in the homosexual lifestyle themselves. They're more likely to be exposed to the damaging aspects of the homosexual lifestyle. Those engaged in homosexuality have much higher incidences of domestic violence, substance abuse, suicidal tendencies and attempts at suicide, and psychological and mental disorders. That's not a good setting for children. When we look at states that have allowed homosexuals to adopt children, take, for example, Massachusetts, because of the political pressure on the issue, there then becomes a tendency for social workers and others to give a preference for children to be placed in homosexual homes rather than in the homes that have a heterosexual mother and father. By allowing it, it increases the pressure for children to be placed in homes in which they are going to be at higher risk of being exposed to detrimental behavior.
Do the two go together? Is it a foregone conclusion that, as in the case of Massachusetts, where a state by one means or another approves of gay marriage, that it's inevitable the same state would very quickly thereupon approve of adoption by gay and lesbian couples?
Well, I don't want people to give up hope in whatever state they're in, that we need to continually fight on the best interests of virtue and of children. But it does seem to go hand in hand. We've seen some of the terrible abuses that have happened in Massachusetts just by the court allowing same-sex marriage, that then homosexuality was taught somewhat explicitly in the schools to as young as even those in kindergarten. And also we have the case of the Catholic Charities of Massachusetts, which was told that it must place children, adopt children into homes of homosexual couples, even though there were other adoption agencies that would place children with homosexual couples. So there were alternatives available, but in the eyes of the authorities in Massachusetts, they required that every single adoption agency must place children with homosexual couples. So there's a very bad precedent already, and it's admirable of the state of Florida that for so long they have been setting up a legal structure that would protect children, and it's very disappointing that once again it's the courts, activist judges, that are imposing something that will be detrimental to children.
Someone will say, look, this man who's bringing the challenge to the Florida ban on gay adoption, he served as a foster parent to these children. If he can be a foster parent, he can be an adoptive parent. Your response?
Yeah, that is very disappointing, and that's what happens when we open the door by allowing homosexuals to be foster parents. It then makes for the argument of why not adoption. But just, it's the old argument, two wrongs don't make a right. Just because one wrong decision was made doesn't mean that the next decision must be made. So in this case, I think Florida ought to be looking at the sociological evidence that shows that the detrimental lifestyle of homosexuals, and then how that would impact children. They need to take a very hard look at the studies in which that claim that children raised by homosexual couples don't suffer detrimental side effects. It turns out that many of those studies would not be able to stand up to any other kind of scientific scrutiny, that they were small sample sizes, they were inadequately done, that there were agendas that formulated the studies. So I would hope that as this topic is being debated, that people are being exposed to the truthful evidence that homosexuality is a a damaging lifestyle to those who engage in it, and it is not in the best interest of children to place them in homes in which people are engaging in homosexuality.
So bottom line, make the case, if you will, with only 1 minute, why is adoption by gay and lesbian couples bad public policy?
The point of adoption is not to make adults feel good. The point of adoption is to make sure that children are well taken care of and that they're in homes that are the best. And the best, all the evidence is, children need a mother and a father, not two fathers, not two mothers. And so we ought to be placing children who are in really special need because they have, in one form or another, lost their own parents. They should be given a priority of being placed in the kinds of homes that will be the best for them. And this should also be a wake-up call to many Christians to step forward to adopt these children.
Wendy Wright is president of Concerned Women for America, based in Washington, D.C. We will post a link to Concerned Women for America at our website, issuesetc.org, under the On Demand page, issuesetc.org. Click On Demand for that link. Wendy, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back from this break, we're going to be spending some time with Dr. Thomas von Hagel. In fact, the remainder of this hour will be spent talking about the word giant is probably inadequate. Augustine of Hippo, 4th century, 5th century bishop and theologian, his influence cannot be overestimated. Not only in the Western Church, but elsewhere in the annals of church history as well, Augustine is one of those giants. He was the strongest influence, one might say, among the early church fathers, although he does fall late in those early church fathers, on what would eventually become the Reformation. And he is a genuine conversion story. Part of that conversion story, his mother, Monica, too. Also remembered on this day, in church history. We'll be remembering both son and mother, Augustine and his mother, Monica. Dr. Thomas von Hagel of Concordia University, Chicago, will be our guest. Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk to Molly Ziegler-Hemingway about vocation and parenting. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned.
Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chalada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/IssuesETC.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Japan's unplanned problem.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
We hear a lot in modern society about the problem of unplanned pregnancies, but population control advocates rarely speak of the problems resulting from planning not to have children. Japan, a highly modernized, affluent society, is reaping the results of such planning, and the predictions are bleak. The current birth rate is well below the amount needed to maintain a nation's population. Widespread abortion has resulted in a demographic nightmare for Japan, now the first nation to register more annual deaths than births. This situation threatens to undermine Japan's strength and leave the elderly with inadequate support.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.